How are you reacting?
A blue hedgehog from space.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, that happens all the time.
Really?
This kind of thing. Alien encounters. It's really, I'm no stranger.
Really?
You know, oh my God, probing? I don't even notice it anymore.
So you'd happily go on a little adventure with this?
Oh, yeah.
With a small hog.
Oh, I wouldn't have any trouble with that. We were talking about that last night. About, you know, we were on the plane, we were thinking, you know, all of these alien movies are really truly designed to get us used to the idea of living with aliens and, you know, eventually meeting the many aliens.
Let's hope so. That's the message I took from Sonic as well, is that Sonic is real and he's coming.
So pumped up right now. I'm pumped up to talk to you. I feel like Alex Jones right now. I feel like Alex Jones ready to slam the desk. Get the bullhorn out. We're calling out the pedals right now. Today's the day. I'm going to talk to you about a guy. He's a famous director. Maybe you've heard of him, named Steven Spielberg. And this is going to be a Patreon only exclusive, because anytime we get into this territory, and as you know, on the Patreon feed, I like to give some bonus content every month as another way of showing my humble gratitude to you. I honestly do appreciate you. The Patreon's been blowing up lately, and I see you all out there signing up. I can't believe it. I can't believe how many people signed up for this thing. I love it. Originally, my goal was to get 1,000 on here, and I'll be damned if we're almost halfway there already. That's fantastic, so thank you. But I do want to talk to you about Spielberg, and one of the reasons I want this to be on the private feed is because I do believe there is some very darkness to this thing happening. And we'll get into that a little bit. I do want to catch you up a little bit, just a little bit on the news. This is the Illuminati TMZ after all. Okay, so I talked to you about a rapper named Pop Smoke. I know Havies don't care. and Just Ray on the IG told me that 823 has a significance in the gang lifestyle, apparently. If you recall, I said Pop Smoke, or I made mention of Pop Smoke and his desire to earn $823 million. Angie Martinez asked him why that number, and he kind of shrugged it off, didn't say anything. I postulated, using the numerology kind of elements of Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan in there, 8 and 23. I postulated maybe that was it. Well, Just Ray told me that the 8 Deuce Trey is a Crips group that Pop Smoke was, I don't know, affiliated with. I don't know. I'm not trying to get caught up in this gang warfare. But apparently that could be why he chose 823. So there you have that. Speaking of Isaac Cappy, speaking of calling out pedos, big mention here. Tinfoil Hat, as you know, I went on his show, on Sam Tripoli's show, to talk about Isaac Cappy. And I didn't say much because Corey Daniel was on there. I actually recommended we get Corey Daniel because that dude's an expert on Isaac Cappy. But I did a show for Patreons only on Cappy, and we went mega deep dive on it. And it's very relevant for today's topic. So if you haven't listened to the Isaac Cappy Patreon exclusive, I advise you to do so, because it's going to be, you know, a related topic for today's discussion. Shout out Patricia, big ups on the Patreon team. What up, Patricia? Said to watch some interview with Jim Carrey called Pop Buzz, and he dropped some truths. He dropped some truth on the alien films, and that was what you heard at the beginning on the intro there. Just something fun. Jim Carrey, you know, he's dropping them truth bombs sometimes. Some people call him crazy. Him and Kanye West, they both know a thing or two about a thing or two. I'm not saying they're always right. but I do think there's something, some kind of story they're trying to tell us, okay? LeBron James, he's writing a kid's book. Wow, very original. As you know, if you've listened to all my Kobe Bryant shows, LeBron James, of course, allegations of his involvement with all this. I'm not saying he killed Kobe Bryant. But if you want to believe in some kind of energetic exchange, some kind of blood sacrifice theory, if you want to, you don't have to. Hell, sometimes I don't believe it. Sometimes it's a little too crazy for me to take. But curious enough, there's news dropping. He's writing a book called I Promise. He wrote a 2-book deal to write some kids' books. Who does that sound like? It sounds like Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant had a multi-book deal grown through his multimedia company called Granity. And as I revealed to you, Granity, of course, is his term for magic. Yes. I got my dogs here. I got Big Tuna here. She's going nuts. She's going freaking nuts. She can't take it. She's ready to eat some Illuminati's. Anyways, yeah, these dogs get all fired up when I start talking about the Illuminati. But yeah, this book, LeBron James is writing a 2-book deal, drops August 11th. What do you think is going to be in there? You think there's going to be some Illuminati stuff? You think there's going to be some magic stuff? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. I'm going to read you from about the book. It says, LeBron James was inspired by the values and initiatives of his foundation's I Promise program when he started on the picture book. A second book, a novel for middle grade students, will follow in 2021. The 3-time NBA champion has dedicated his time off the court to helping students in the hometown of Akron, Ohio. He started the I Promise School, a public school where students have an opportunity to earn full tuition college scholarships in fall 2018. Now, you recall Kobe was writing a book with Paulo Coelho. Do you recall that? And Coelho publicly stated that he threw this book in the trash after Kobe died. Now, Coelho says it was out of respect for Kobe Bryant, which you and I both know makes no sense. It makes no sense. Out of respect, you would finish the book, would you not? Maybe you'd finish the book, give the proceeds of the sales to the kids or something. And you already know, if you listen to my Kobe Bryant stuff, Paulo Coelho is Illuminati confirmed all the way. Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt. 666 is the number of the revolution. His words, not mine. Actually, let me clarify that. I don't want to send you down the wrong path, but he helped write a song with Raul Seixas, a Brazilian dude. And it said something about 666 is the number for the alternative society. Oh, look it up. Alternative Alternativo Sociedad, I think is the name of the song. Anyhow, LeBron James always talking about Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist. Many times talked about how great of an inspiration was, best book ever, as did Kobe Bryant. And look, that's not particular to those two. That's not unique. A lot of people cite The Alchemist as a great book. It is a little odd, okay? LeBron is following the exact same footsteps. Kobe, of course, he wrote 2 different books as well, with 2 different stories. The one was about a girl who gets powers from Lucifer, the fallen god, and then her shadow elements come out and attack the other players and almost kills them. And then by the end of the book, she finds out that her uncle's worshiping Lucifer, and she says, oh, wow, what are you doing? And he says, hey, you know what? This Lucifer worship thing, it ain't so bad. And that's how the book ends. There, I just summed up my whole Kobe Bryant occult kids book show right there. But yeah, I mean, this is what these people are into, I guess. Well, I mean, what else am I supposed to think? Is CNN going to ask these guys about it? No. Is Fox News? No. NPR? No. Nobody. Nobody's asking any of these questions. I would say that maybe I'm on the side of paranoia. If there weren't so many examples of this stuff going on. Coronavirus. Dean Koontz He's an author, and he wrote a book called Eyes of Darkness from 1981. And it turns out it has a plot of the Wuhan virus. The Wu-Tang virus is back at it. The coronavirus. And if you look at the cover of the book, guess what you see on there? The all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye. The pineal gland, the third eye, the reptilian brain, the mauve zone, the place where creativity resides, the place where the shadow lives, as per Carl Jung, the same shadow from Kobe Bryant's books, that's the girl worships Lucifer, and then her shadow demon comes out and starts trying to kill the kids. It all adds up. What does that add up to? Well, the 3 sixes, I believe. Now, my man Brian, he hooked it up. He sent me some screenshots of this this book, The Eyes of Darkness. I'm going to read to you some interesting stuff here. There's a Chinese scientist named Li Chen, L-I space C-H-E-N. Well, it turns out there's a scientist named Li Wenliang. Oh, boy. You know I'm not good with names. But anyways, you know what I'm saying. This guy, Li Wenliang in China there, was a doctor and a whistleblower on the Wuhan coronavirus, making references to being like a Chernobyl disaster, because a lot of people are saying that. They're saying this is a more than what the Chinese government is making it sound out to be. In this book, I'm going to read you from page 333. They call the stuff Wuhan 400 because it was developed at their RDNA labs outside of the city of Wuhan, and it was the 400th viable strain of man-made microorganisms created at the research center. Call it Wuhan 400, okay? And actually, the copy, I guess there's multiple copies of this book. The paperback copy that I'm looking at that Brian sent me does not have the all-seeing eye on it, just for clarification, but I have seen some that do have. I mean, it's called The Eye of Darkness, by the way, so. Then it says, I assume this is from the same book. I don't want to assume. It says, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. Oh, and it's, it's Dean Koontz, 1981. But, yeah, so interesting stuff going on there. More to come on the coronavirus, I'm sure, right? I'm sure. Hopefully not. Hopefully it's just a big scare tactic. A big fear tactic that the mainstream media is trying to scare us into getting vaccinations or whatever. Oh, and by the way, I don't know for fact that it's page 333. All the screenshots I've seen, you can't quite tell. And I don't have a paperback copy of this thing. So if you know for sure it's page 333, hit me up. Send me a photo. Send me a screenshot. Whatever. Now, Billie Eilish. One more topic, and then we're on to Spielberg, what you came here for. Billie Eilish. Well, Justin Bieber, he went on Tim Westwood and was crying his little peepers out about how he hopes she doesn't go through the same things he did. Isn't that strange?
It was hard for me being that young and being in the industry and not knowing where to turn and everyone, you know, telling me they love me and, you know, just turn their back on you in a second. So if she ever needs me, I'm going to be here for her. But yeah, just protecting those moments because people take for granted encounters. And I just want to protect her.
But yeah, Billie Eilish, they're still pushing her. I mean, the latest is they're posting videos of her surprising and embracing depressed fans and whatnot. I mean, these are all publicity stunts, carefully coordinated. To open up your heart to young Billy. I mean, what, you thought the cameras just happened to be capturing all that? Like she's checking her emails, finding just the right kid to go help? The fix is always in. Now, the main show, Steven Spielberg. Oh boy, do we've got some crazy stuff to talk to you about. let's talk about why I'm talking about him today. Because his daughter is apparently a porn star now, okay? And look, I don't care about, like, I'm not opposed to pornography. I'm not opposed to women or men who want to do that sort of thing. I mean, I think every adult can make their own decision as to what they like. I think sex is shamed in our society for some reason. It's very bizarre. So I don't personally take much cause for concern about this. Did I find it very strange that, because like, look, the honesty, the truth is, like, the porn industry, it does prey on a lot of young, you know, people with, maybe they got drug problems, maybe they got mental health problems, maybe they got abuse problems. I mean, there's a disproportionate number of folks that are in the business with issues, okay? Like, that's a pretty well-known idea that I'm sure is true. But to me, what's curious to me is that all these mainstream media outlets that post this topic, if you Google it, Google, you know, Spielberg daughter smut or porn or whatever, you probably just need to do Spielberg and daughter, and it'll come up on the news there. You'll see that they're posting a photo of her as a child standing with her father, Spielberg. But she's 23 right now. And at first I thought, like, because I don't know who she is. I didn't even know Spielberg had kids. He's not necessarily my number one thought. But the headlines are Spielberg's daughter doing porno. And then it shows this photo of Spielberg with his daughter. And I mean, she looks like she's 12 in the photo, 13 maybe. But she's 23 in real life. If you look at her current picture, she looks like an adult, you know? She looks like a grown woman. Why are they showing us these photos of her as a little kid? And maybe it's sensationalism. Or maybe they're trying to subtly tell us something. She was actually adopted by Spielberg in 1996. Like I said, she's now 23. So she was apparently adopted as a baby, right? And I'm going to read you here. This is from The Sun. They were the one that broke this story. Steven Spielberg's daughter, Michaela, has launched a new career as an adult entertainer. In an exclusive interview, Michaela Spielberg, 23, who was adopted as a baby by the legendary film director and his wife, Kate Capshaw, told how she has already started self-producing solo porn videos and says she would love to land a job as a dancer in a strip club once she obtains her sex worker license. Michaela, who speaks to her parents regularly, broke the news to them via FaceTime at the weekend and said they were intrigued but not upset. Describing herself as a sexual creature, she told The Sun, "I got really tired of not being able to capitalize on my body, and frankly, I got really tired of being told to hate my body. And I also just got tired of working day to day in a way that wasn't satisfying my soul. I feel like doing this kind of work, I'm able to satisfy other people, but that feels good because it's not in a way that makes me feel violated." Now, what she's talking about here, you got to read between the lines. She is actually saying that she won't do intercourse on camera out of respect for her fiance, who is 47 years old. Oh, man. I don't know what happened there, but I don't think it's anything good. Now, here's what's, if you're not disturbed yet, and you got to go to The Sun to read this, like a lot of these other mainstream media sites are picking up the story, but they're not giving you all the information. I read the whole thing. I'm going to read you the worst part. She said, quote, "While Michaela is now excited and positive about the future and her new career, she also spoke out for the first time about her difficult past, in which she says she suffered sexual abuse. She says she was groomed and abused by predators growing up. Although she is keen to point out these men were outsiders and not anyone from her family or their circle of friends. She says that contributed to her suffering years of mental health issues, including anorexia, borderline personality disorder, and alcoholism. I'm very open about my borderline personality disorder, both publicly, with friends, and online, because we're portrayed as manipulative monsters a lot, Michaela said. So there you have it. I mean, she was abused sexually by predators. But you know, she's pointing out outsiders, not in the family, not in their friends. But don't you assume that Spielberg and the people that would have access to his daughter, I mean, it's got to be these Hollywood types, right? Isaac Cappy called out Spielberg, if you recall, and look, I was skeptical of Cappy, and I still am. But Cappy did call him out, and and even said something about how, yeah, and I don't need $10 million to do it like Corey Feldman, which we're going to get to in a second, by the way. Michael Jackson hated Spielberg. Didn't he call him a Jew on some level? And then after that, the media crucified Michael Jackson. That, you know, that adds into the theory that MJ was innocent, which I don't believe. I think he was guilty. But hey, you know, what do we know? I mean, I do know Michael Jackson was a grown man with a choo-choo train set in his backyard and had kids sleeping in his bed. I'm just saying, if I had kids, they wouldn't be hanging out with Michael Jackson. That's all I'm saying. Now, Spielberg... I've criticized Spielberg and George Lucas on that Isaac Cappy show. Again, I'm a reminder. They both, you remember George Lucas and Spielberg both worked on Raiders of the Lost Ark with Indiana Jones, who was a pedophile. Because if you recall, in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, George Lucas wanted his girlfriend to be 11 years old. 11 years old. When she first slept with Indiana Jones, who was an adult. And then Spielberg was like, let's make her a little older. 11's pushing it. That's kind of gross, maybe. Let's make her 15. And it's not like 15 and she was dating him. No, she was sleeping with him, having sex. I'm telling you, these people are very strange. Now, George Lucas, of course, he's got a history with, you know, he got to start at Altamont with the sacrifice during the Rolling Stones set after Sympathy for the Devil, when Mick Jagger said something weird always happens when we play that song. And Mick Jagger, of course, was messing around with the Black Magic with Kenneth Anger and Bobby Beausoleil. Who actually, I don't think Beausoleil made it into Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, did he? I don't think he did. It's a movie I enjoyed. Kind of long, you know my policy. If it's over 90, it's got to be worth it. And you know they did pretty good. It might have been worth it. And then of course Lucasfilm, based out of the Presidio, the military complex where alleged abuse happened as well. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, the guy who started the Temple of Set, the Satanist, was working there. Now, Spielberg, let's stay on Spielberg. I got some more info for you. There's a magazine called Answer Me from 1993. So it's number 3 from 1993, and you can look it up. It's called Pederastic Park. By Adam Parfrey. He wrote it right after Jurassic Park was coming out. And back then, there were some curious things being accused of Spielberg. And a friend slid this over to me. So shout out, you know who you are. But you can find this online still. But it's a critical look at Jurassic Park and the subtle themes of child abuse that I didn't really recognize when I first watched it, okay? I'll read you the passage. I selected some passages for you. The film's sadistic tone is established early on when a fat child challenges the paleontological, you know what I'm saying, dinosaur stuff, dinosaur nerds. When the fat child challenges the dinosaur nerd theories of protagonist Sam Neill. Sam Neill, of course, in Pop Quiz, What great movie was he in? It was called Mouth of Madness, John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, which I'm going to do an analysis on, and you're going to love it. You're going to love it. So if you haven't seen John Carpenter's Apocalypse Trilogy, that would be The Thing with Kurt Russell. Prince of Darkness, the greatest movie of all time, maybe. Nah, I'm just kidding. One of my favorite movies. Not because it's well done. It just depends. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And we'll talk about that more. And then, of course, The Mouth of Madness with Sam Neill. Okay. And, of course, Sam Neill was in Jurassic Park, if you recall. Neill, he turns on the boy, and in low, menacing tones, he demonstrates to the child how a prehistoric nasty would mangle and devour him. Adding a distinctly Peter Curtinish frisson, Neill slashes near the child's belly and crotch with a large, sharp claw. Perhaps among all our childlike wonderment with the subject of dinosaurs, we forget that child abusers commonly invoke the threat of large beasts to frighten and silence their victims. Is the director conjuring the trappings of childhood obsessions only to wield them for a darker purpose? Although overtly sadistic, Jurassic Park was reined in by its obvious obeisance to special effects. It revealed few of the excesses of Hook, in which Spielberg's psychodramatic inclinations were allowed to roam free. Hook is the culmination of over a decade of false starts in bringing J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan to the screen. And I've never seen Hook, by the way. I guess I'll have to check it out. At first, Spielberg was reportedly considering a live-action redo of the Disney animated feature starring Michael Jackson as the perpetual pre-pube, but the auteur of Suburban Childhood wasn't satisfied with a simple remake. So, yeah, there's all this stuff about Hook in this article, but we also hear about a guy named John Bradshaw who was involved with Steven Spielberg. I didn't know who this guy was. Again, this is 93. This is definitely pre-woke days for me. I was probably watching X-Files or something at that point. John Bradshaw, here we go. The recovery movement is led in part by ex-drunk John Bradshaw, who smilingly encourages his readers to throw off the ruinous shackles of adulthood in order to liberate the inner child. It comes as a little surprise that Steven Spielberg takes parts in Bradshaw's therapies, which include workshops where lullaby music is played and participants cradle and stroke one another. Asking Steven Spielberg to liberate his inner child would be akin to asking a serial murderer to actualize his anger. So again, yeah, that's kind of weird, right? So, and in the article, he talks about how these, you know, there's like sexual fetishes of people dressing up as babies and being treated like babies. And he sort of juxtaposes that with this. Could it be? I don't know. Certainly sounds weird. Now, Bradshaw, he's dead. But he did, in fact, coin that term, inner child. And he was, in fact, an advisor on the movie Hook. There's an interesting part about Hook here. The gruesome hieroglyphic was a perfect mnemonic device. See Hook, think Hook. You're talking about the poster, right? The image for the hook. But more importantly, it transferred any possible pedophilic overtones from Spielberg himself to the classically pederastic fantasy figure of Captain Hook, the fiend who spirits children away to a Neverland where Cabbage Patch foundlings enliven the sodomitical lives of village people, pirates. Here, Spielberg could be evading responsibility for his alleged tendencies by projecting them onto his villain. A strategy employed by Hitchcock and other directors renowned for their sadistic inclinations. Peter Pan had, of course, become such a dusty chestnut that almost no one would object to its pedophilia content. Who would remember that its author, Sir James Barrie, was a full-blown boy fancier who never consummated his marriage to actress Mary Ansel and carried on a passionate, quote-unquote, friendship with the sons of Sylvia and Arthur Davies. Now, the article talks about NAMBLA, okay, alleging that Spielberg might have been in a NAMBLA. And, of course, NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association. Oh, these dogs are going nuts today. They can't take it. They are like Alex Jones, warriors and protectors of the children. NAMBLA infamously, if you recall, had members like Allen Ginsberg, who was part of that beat movement, buddies with William Burroughs and Jack Kerouac and all that stuff. South Park famously did a show making fun of it, and a lot of people didn't know what NAMBLA was until South Park put it on the radar. I certainly didn't know. I'm going to read you from this article still. Pederastic organizations such as NAMBLA insist that children are wise sexual creatures who should be given the opportunity to be fondled, sucked, and anally penetrated by middle-aged men. The NAMBLA Bulletin has a special column called Boys in the Media, tracking the doings of such Hollywood chickens as Macaulay Culkin, known affectionately in the Bulletin as Mac. By the way, you recall Isaac Cappy said the code word for underage boys was chickens. And the reason why is because apparently they call older men who like the little boys chicken hawks. So there you go. I didn't know any of that, obviously. I found it curious that he, in 93, Parfrey was talking about Hollywood chickens. And I thought, wasn't that what Campy said? They were called chickens. And apparently that's common parlance, apparently. Macaulay Culkin, known affectionately in the Bulletin as Mac. Self-described Ganymedian L. Martin, who writes the Boys in the Media column, spoke by phone about Steven Spielberg and Hook. Quote, Spielberg is known for his interest in young boys, certainly, said Martin. A lot of the members have been talking about Hook, telling me how much they enjoyed it. NAMBLA spokesman Renato Carraza refused to confirm or deny Spielberg's possible membership in the Man Boy Love Association. Quote, we don't divulge our membership roles. And is it merely accidental that another pederastic magazine goes by the acronym PAN, the Pedo Alert News? Oh, boy. And then there's more on films by Spielberg. Let's just go through it real quick. When the Lost Boys smear war paint on William's naked torso, the ideal is reminiscent of a certain gay body painting video advertised in The Advocate that focuses on creative eroticism that expands and extends the beauty of foreplay. There's not room enough to detail the pedophilic implications of other Spielberg productions. The man-boy relationship in Empire of the Sun, which begins with John Malkovich's comment about young Christian Bale's sweet mouth, and it reaches its emotional climax when Malkovich directs the chicken to move his cot next to his. The child-alien-human-ectodermal interactions in Close Encounters, and the sanitized incest theme of Back to the Future, which, if you recall, I did a show on many moons ago talking about that exact thing. He's like, yeah, because if you recall on Back to the Future, he's like, I got an idea. How about I start making out with my mom? And then and then the other dude, was it George or something? I was like, wait a minute, what? You know? And then, no, hear me out. I'm going to make out with her and then you stop me. Very weird. And if you recall in the town there in Hill Valley, the movie theater is showing XXX porn. Very obvious. I got the screenshots to prove it. IlluminatiWatcher.com. However, it was E.T., Spielberg's most exalted triumph, which seems to clothe the boy love fantasy in new age vestments. Now, I haven't seen E.T. I know, I lived a very weird childhood. There's a lot of these movies I've never seen. Watched a lot of weird 80s horror movies growing up. but if you recall, Spielberg also did AI. I did a whole show on that recently, a few months back. I think that was a Patreon-only thing, too. But AI, which was Kubrick's film originally. Okay. And then finally, a curious idea that Spielberg's daughter said. One more thing. I kind of threw it in here. I kind of threw this out of order. I kind of Tarantino Pulp Fictioned you. Here, I'm going to read it to you. She said in her interview, in fact, one of my first and favorite books he purchased for me, referring to her father, Steven Spielberg, is a huge compilation of H.P. Lovecraft stories because I was 10 years old and I was asking questions about it and he said, oh, I'll buy you the book. Now, H.P. Lovecraft, of course, very popular. Just because Spielberg bought it for his daughter doesn't mean he's an occultist. But I am working up a full show on H.P. Lovecraft. We're going to talk about all the weird stuff. All this occult stuff. Why? The same reason these psychopaths are abusing the kids is because it sort of energetically does something, according to the theories. I know, it sounds crazy, right? So there you have it. That's basically the whole thing on Spielberg, the latest and greatest. His daughter's doing porno now, and he is allegedly involved in all this stuff. Now, I told you I'd talk about Corey Feldman. Let me briefly do this before I let you go. Because he's dropping a film called My Truth, The Rape of Two Corys. It will only air one time and one time only. You can buy it at mytruthdoc.com. It airs March 9th, 2020. I looked it up. It's only $20. And we all have to watch it at the same time, apparently. But, you know, if I'm a betting man on this, I'm going to guess it miraculously appears a couple of months later on Amazon or HBO. Because it's probably just a publicity stunt. Especially like, it should be a publicity stunt, because if he's really trying to reveal this truth, why would you limit your audience size, right? I'm going to read you. Quote, Feldman has been urging the entertainment industry for the longest time to listen to what he has to say. With the new advertisement, the Stand By Me star hopes to convince audiences he's not messing around and that the documentary should be taken rather seriously. One of the first to throw their support behind Feldman was Jane's Addiction guitarist Dave Navarro, who commented on his post saying, "You're killing it, brother." Of course, you know Dave Navarro, close friend of mine. Feldman's bombshell documentary is years in the making, and many assumed it would never see the light of day, considering the hurdles it faced. But the 48-year-old actor seems more determined than ever to deliver the truth. Furthermore, he's even hired 24/7 armed security to protect himself and his wife, albeit he still receives daily threats on social media. With the upcoming documentary centers around Corey Feldman's roller coaster journey in Hollywood, he maintains it will also shed light on Corey Haim's side of the story. Nonetheless, expectations are high considering the actor has gone out of his way to advocate for minors abused in the entertainment industry, and the documentary could add a feather to his benevolent legacy. Oh, so there you go. All kinds of stuff coming to the truth. Is the swamp being drained? Is the swamp being drained? Not sure. Is Epstein alive? Probably. Oh, boy. But yeah, I wanted to share that Spielberg update with you, and it quickly sort of like spiraled out because I wanted to share you that article on Spielberg that my friend sent me. You know, synchronicity, some may call it. Irony, others may call it. I got it all around the same time. And yeah, that's the concerning thing, is all of this rampant abuse in Hollywood. What is going on there? Weinstein, of course, in court right now. Yeah, I don't like talking about those topics on the free feed. I don't like talking about them too much, period. It's very dark stuff. And if you've heard any of my shows, you heard about the sort of occult ideas that, you know, Gilda Ray was this dude killing the kids. And oh, by the way, Jack Parsons said he was a reincarnation of Gilda Ray. I don't know if you knew that. The guy who started NASA, but we should trust NASA. Oh dear. Anyway, I'm going to let you go because I got some shows to work on for you. I've got an Arrival analysis, another Patreon bonus coming out real soon. I've got analysis on the films Lighthouse, which I'm going to do this H.P. Lovecraft deal. I finished Color Out of Space, The Fourth Kind. I got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to do the Apocalypse trilogy. I'm even going to do a show on my personal beliefs. I've had many people ask me these things. As much as I want to say it doesn't matter what I believe, you're interested. Why not? You know, why not? That's going to be Patreon only too. You know, I don't like to share. I don't like to let people in. Very secretive. But I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you all the way in, baby. I'm going to let you all the way in. I'm going to tell you all the details, all the dirt. I'm not going to tell you my real name, though. That really doesn't matter. The Illuminati can't find me if I keep in an alias. How could they? So, until next time. Oh, and thank you for being the Patreon team. I know I say it all the time, and I mean it all the time. and I'm not joking, I'm not being sarcastic, I do appreciate you. You are what's keeping this thing going. So thank you for your support. And until next time, stay woke.